SoundingTheAlarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis sounding the alarm on February 23rd, 2012. I have on my heart today to share a series of various scriptures, New Testament and Old Testament, about something that I see as one of the most serious, key, important issues to be aware of, to absolutely be on guard if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, this ought to really get your attention, because what the testimony of Jesus has said regarding the last days, and what the apostles that knew Jesus have also said, and the prophets of the Lord that foreknew the Lord through the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of Christ was in them, testifying of the sufferings that Jesus would go through, but they also encountered in their day, in the religious day, a corrupt, fallen religious system where the leaders of the people had gone astray from the Lord and had become mixed with the world and absorbed idolatry and other gods. They would even go to the temple worshiping God, but also other gods too. It's like adultery, that having a marriage but yet having other loves too at the same time, and thinking that that was acceptable. And anyone that's married knows that that's not acceptable. And certainly God says it's not acceptable. But God has called those in it that are in idolatrous adultery with other gods and loving the things of this world rather than his kingdom to come to repentance. And he will forgive and cleanse and remove their sin if they will serve him and love him and fear him and turn from their evil ways. This is the whole point, is that all men everywhere are under command to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us, came to take away our sins. So what we're going to talk about today is false ministries, false apostles, false prophets, false shepherds, false teachers, even false Christ. In fact, let's start with Matthew 24, the record that Jesus gave about these things. He was asked by his disciples regarding the end of the age and the signs of his second coming. He gave a very clear picture, an outline, so to speak. But in Matthew 24, verse 11, he said, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." I'm going to continue to read. "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." There's a relationship between sin increasing in the heart, hardening the heart, and refusal to repent. But under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, when your conscience becomes seared, and people will lose their love and passion and sensitivity and become callous, cold, hard people. "But the Lord is saying, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So this is why it's important to know what the gospel is, what the message of God is. As Apostle Paul said, he was entrusted by God with the glorious gospel. That he also was talking in Colossians 4, that he was asking his brethren to pray for him that a door of unction, utterance, would come, that he would speak as he ought to speak and manifest that word of God, which is the gospel of the Lord. But see, there's false gospels by false teachers, false prophets, false apostles, teaching other things that they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. And we're going to go over these things today. Also in Matthew 24, verse 24, Jesus said, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before." I love that part. We should find comfort in the fact that Jesus already told us what these things would be like. He already warned you. He already warned us so we'd prepare ourselves and be on guard and arm our mind with the Word of God and have a heart that's passionate for the Lord. Because if we do that, you won't believe a liar. You won't believe the deceivers. You won't go astray. Because as a snare shall all these things come upon them on the whole earth. And there's wicked men that are trying to capture men like a snare. You know, Jesus said, "Behold, the time's coming. They'll say unto you, behold, he's in the desert. Go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers." Ooh, believe it not. "For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." That's the record what Jesus said. And when he went through these things, he said there'd be wars and rumors of wars. But the end's not yet. Don't be troubled. And we're having right now, we're about to see one of the greatest world wars that man has ever encountered, with the most greatest destruction. And the Bible talks about it in the book of Revelation, that the rider on the white horse goes forth conquering and to conquer. And then there's a rider on a red horse who's given a mighty sword. And there's a battle with many people killed. We are going to see a world war in due time, soon. But there are rumors of wars. There are wars. "See that you be not troubled," Jesus said, "for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation." That's ethnos. Isn't that interesting? Ethnic. Ethnos is the word nation translated in English. "Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom." You see the clash. You see the turmoil. You see the conflict. This is the environment of the last days. "There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places." Food shortage. People hungry. People desperate. There's wicked men maneuvering behind the scenes to bring about their will. A will for a one-world government, a one-world religion, where they rule and reign over the people. "All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." That's the cost of being a disciple. Are you prepared for this? Are you prepared to be not just ridiculed, but hated? Not just mocked, but taken into custody and beaten, and even by religious people beaten and mocked like they did Jesus? Falsely accused before Caesar, before the governing power of the world. These things are going to surely come to pass. "And then shall many be offended," Jesus said. That means give up. "And shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." And this is where Jesus said, "And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many." This is the environment of the last days. Great, tumultuous times. Upheaval, fear, anguish, tribulation, anxiety, affliction. But this is why, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we need to be strong in these things. And like I was reading what Paul said, we need to be patient through our tribulations and having the high praises of God in our mouth and giving thanks and rejoicing in the hope and fervent in prayer and instant in prayer and continuing in prayer and keeping our focus on the eternal gospel that must be proclaimed in these last days, and then the end shall come. And have courage, because those days will be shortened for the elect's sake. And if those days had not been shortened, there'd be no flesh alive. Again, that's the witness of Jesus. There's need that we go over these things, because people do not like to discuss that there's false teachers teaching false things. People don't like to talk about that. They think it's unloving. But it is a loving of the truth. It's a loving of the Lord. When you know the Lord, you don't like him misrepresented. You don't like the people being led astray. If you have a proper perspective, you wouldn't rather protect the ones that are lying, but you'd protect the truth. You'd protect the personality of the Lord, his reputation. You'd want to be a witness for him. You'd want to reflect him. Jude chapter 1, verse 3. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. How did it come? By way of Jesus, the apostles, the early believers. They shared their faith of things that they saw and heard, and it gave testimony, and it was written down. Praise God. The Holy Spirit came and gave remembrance of all things that Jesus had said. We have that in a book today. We call it the Scriptures. Jude 1:4 says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares." Certain men who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. It's like a Judas. Ungodly men. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And remember that, ladies and gentlemen. This is one of the marks of a false teacher, is that they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Anything goes. That's what the prophetess Jezebel did. She taught you could eat things offered unto idols and to come fornicate in adultery. After all, she said, render grace. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. See, it's not just to have an experience of being delivered by God is what keeps you. We have to abide in that word with faith, continue in faith. And Jesus would marvel at the unbelief of the people, having an evil heart of unbelief. Now we're going to hear the testimony of Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2 and following. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily," where's that word privily, or secretly, or covertly, or by stealth, they sneak in, "who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways." Many, many shall follow their pernicious ways, "by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." They give the world a reason to accuse the Lord. They give a false reason to deny the gospel. They give the world that are trusting in their wickedness and their own righteousness an excuse why they don't follow the Lord, because of the scammers. That's a shameful thing. "And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not." Verse 14. "Having eyes full of adultery, that cannot cease from sin, their beguiling, unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with a man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet." These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is brought in bondage." This is why it's important to read these things, because it gives you the telltale signs. These are people like wells, but they have no water. They're big clouds, but there's no rain. And it's a big tempest, stormy sky. These people are like whirlwinds. They break grandiose words, but no power, no holiness, no witness of the Spirit of God. They're full of lust, wantonness, evil, and they're servants of bondage. They're corrupt. They're drug addicts. They're pornographers. They're adulterers. They're liars. They're boasters. They're completely unholy. And these are men that, and women that have stood and speak in the name of Jesus many times. For after they had escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. See, these are things that are going on in secret, but God is exposing what is going on by the wickedness of men of the darkness. Because the light exposes the darkness. They thought man doesn't see. They thought God doesn't see. They thought God wouldn't do anything. But the time has come when the indictment of the Lord is upon the church world. The servants of the Lord are going forth in the name of Jesus and exposing these things and bringing this word. It has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. That's what 2 Peter has to declare about this topic. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, now the Spirit speaks expressly. There's times, you know, as a servant of the Lord, you know, the God's speaking to you. You're hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking loud and clear. And this is about in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. See this happening right now. We see this happening right now. That there's emergent church movement that's doesn't believe that the gospel is the word of God, doesn't believe the scripture is the word of God. They think they're saying it was written by man. They're mixing other religions. They're saying that Christianity, the faith in Jesus Christ, death and resurrection, and eternal life by faith and grace, is just another religion. They're liars. They speak lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They have all these commandments and principles, ways of their religion that they create, they invent, because they are franchisers, religious franchisers. We're to put people in remembrance of these things. And that's what makes you a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto you have attained. Verse 6. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise yourself unto godliness. Be godly. God changes us from the inside out by faith. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God. Isn't that true? Who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conduct, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, and don't neglect the gift that's in you, which was given you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself completely to them, that your profiting may appear to all. Take heed to yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you shall both save yourself and them that hear you. See how important this is, this discussion is? Yes, the Spirit is telling us that in the latter times people are going to depart from the faith. They're going to give heed to seducing wicked spirits and doctrines of demons. People will have their conscience seared. How do you have men on religious broadcasting standing up with Mormons and saying they're believers, brothers in Christ? How they're seared, their conscience, their heart is departed from the Lord. How is that possible? It's been said in recent days that Glenn Beck is speaking in a so-called church in Texas. And Glenn Beck said Jesus was his Savior, but then he gave testimony that he was a member of the LDS, Latter-day Saints. Ladies and gentlemen, that's another gospel. And yet the leader of that so-called church got up and said that Glenn Beck was a brother, a believer. Shame on you, sir. Shame. And shame on the people that sit there in those pews. Believe these things. False shepherds, false teachers. When you realize that the Mormons believe that God was once a man who became God, and that there's a council of gods on other planets, and that they have physical relations with women. Come on. These things are unfolding in our day. Let's look at the record in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to read this, verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Not only are they deceived, but they're going to deceive others. And he assures again, but continue thou in the things which you've learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. And he speaks of the importance of the scripture here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Speaks before this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Selfish, self-centered. It's all about me. I did it my way. That's the theme song of the last days. Covetous. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, just like Cain. Cain hates Abel. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Don't hang out around people that are religious, but they have no godliness. They're liars. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, climb in the window, arrange for a meeting when hubby isn't around. They plan it all out and leave captive silly women laden with sins. Led away with divers lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know people like that, that do Bible study after Bible study after Bible study after Bible study after word study, but they somehow never come to the knowledge of the truth. They somehow don't know the Lord. They somehow don't know the truth. Truth is a person. Now, as Johnnies and Jombries withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. I've spoken about this in times past, how people resist the truth. You know, you tell them the truth and they resist. They push it away. There's people that hinder the truth a notch higher. And then there's people that absolutely oppose the truth and come against you to destroy you, just like they did with Jesus and the apostles of the early church. And just as they've done throughout the history of the church. Religious systems have actually hindered the proclaiming of the gospel and murdered millions of people that had faith in Jesus, that would call upon the Lord in simplicity and not trust in an antichrist pope. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. This is the reference I was referring to earlier, 2 Timothy 3:10. Listen to what Paul says. You have fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. These are the marks of a true minister, Apostle Paul. His doctrine was right. His manner of life was godly. His purpose was that of God. He had genuine faith. He endured afflictions. And he had charity. And he had endurance. Persecutions. And he went through the afflictions, praising God. And God delivered him from every single bit of it. And God used it. Yes, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Very important scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 Verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So there are people that make up a ministry, call themselves apostles. They're not apostles of the Lord. They weren't sent by the Lord. They're not laying a foundation of godliness in Jesus Christ. They're deceitful workers. They're a chameleon. They change colors. They shapeshift into the apostles of Christ. No marvel. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I want to back up and read what Paul said in the beginning of this chapter. Hear his heart. Would to God you bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That's Paul's motive. He wants you to be ready for the bridegroom. He wants you to be pure and ready. That's the Spirit of the Lord in the last days, making straight the path of the Lord, making a people prepared for the Lord. But today's religious charlatans, they're just trying to make merchandise of you. They don't care how you live. They strengthen you in your wickedness. They want you to feel guilty. They want you to come sit on the pew and get your little sympathetic pacification on your sinfulness. Because they say we're just all sinners. They don't believe that we're the righteous in Christ. And they prove it by their behaviors and doctrine. Paul says, I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. Verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you've not received, or another gospel, which you've not accepted, you might well bear with him. And this is exactly what's going on today. People are preaching another Jesus, a Jesus that didn't redeem on the cross with his own blood, but they believe that Jesus was demon-possessed and suffered in the place of the departed dead. They twist the scriptures. They preach another Jesus that was just, they say he was just a phantom spirit, or that he didn't really resurrect. There's many Jesuses out there, but there's only one true and living Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Paul was concerned that people would accept these other Jesuses, these other Christs, and receive another spirit, a worldly spirit, a new age spirit, an ecumenical spirit, a religious spirit, a denominational spirit, or another gospel. Paul was concerned that they would tag along, go along with it. And then in Galatians chapter 1, Paul talked about this also. He was talking about the glorious gospel, how Jesus Christ gives us peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel, which is not another gospel, but there are some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we were an angel from heaven, isn't that interesting? Angels were speaking with Daniel. And angels have been professed through the religion Mormon, preaching another Christ, preaching another gospel. But Paul says, I don't care if it's myself or we that you've known as apostles of the Lord, if we come preaching another gospel, don't believe it, don't receive it. Let him be accursed. And we said before, so I say now again, he's going to reiterate it. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, you either got it from God, or you got it from man. And no one can receive anything unless it's been given from above. This is what Jesus said. We're talking about false apostles, false prophets, false teachers. People that deny the grace of God and turn it into lasciviousness. People that make merchandise of you. People that don't hold to wholesome words, even denying the words of Jesus. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul said this. He said, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example." We just talked about his manner of life, his purpose, his faith, his charity, how he endured persecutions and afflictions, and his message. For many, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, and who mind earthly things. He's talking about false ministries, false brethren. They're liars. They may wear sheep's clothing, but really within they're ravenous wolves. Enemies of the cross of Christ, by which God has ordained that eternal life come for all those that would believe. In Titus, Paul had a lot to say about doctrine, how we were to be saved by faith through grace, not by our works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to his mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You know, a great cost has been paid for salvation. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus laid down his life. There's no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus has done this. And why don't people love Jesus for this grace? Because they want to glory in their own flesh. They want to glory in their own strength, in their own knowledge. They love this present evil age. They love the things of this world. And they turn from the Lord. They're scammers. Paul said in verse 9 of Titus 3, chapter 3, verse 9, "But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that's a heretic, after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he is such, is subverted and sins, being condemned of himself." So ladies and gentlemen, there's heretics, there's false brethren, there's certain men that have crept in unawares, bringing in damnable heresies, seducing spirits and doctrines of demons with goofy doctrines. Don't believe it. Don't go here or there following them. Don't believe it. Follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. Know you're the voice of your shepherd. Don't believe the lies of the evil one. Paul was saying in Titus 2:15, "These things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise you." Look it, we're going to speak the truth. And the chips are going to fall where they may. I don't care who you are. I don't care how big your audience is or how many millions of people are under your influence. Oh, religious leaders, the Word of God is the Word of God, and the truth is the truth, and it's exposing the lies. And it's up to the people whether they'll follow the truth or follow the lies. I'm going to share from Jeremiah chapter 50. But the Lord said that the people of God had gone astray because of the false shepherds. Also in Ezekiel chapter 34, these are woes. Woe, woe, woe unto the false shepherds. Ezekiel 13, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say unto them that prophesy out of their own heart, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. You see that? They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, The Lord said, The Lord hath not sent them, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. This is what is amazing to me, is I see false prophecy, it's pseudo-prophecy, or even divination and prognostication, and you have one person send it out, and then someone else prophesies along the same theme, and now they've encouraged each other in their false word. Happens all the time. Have you not seen a vain vision? Have you not spoken a lying divination? Whereas you say the Lord said it, albeit I've not spoken. Listen, ladies and gentlemen. God puts his words in our mouth. We don't put our words in his. We don't attribute our imagination to God. Fear the Lord in this. Sanctify the Lord. Love the Lord in this. And you'll never, never, never do that. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you've spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I'm against you, says the Lord God. And my hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord God. Because they have seduced my people, saying, Peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. In other words, we whitewash the iniquitous sins, and God has shown Ezekiel the sins that were going on in the imaginations of the minds of these people, the idolatry, and how they were involved in wicked practices, even worshiping false gods and facing the east, and the women baking cakes for Tammuz. What goes on behind closed doors, even of the mind, is horrendous. Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. So what you're whitewashing and covering over, it's going to be exposed, and it's not going to remain. There shall be an overflowing shower, and yea, O great hailstones shall fall, and a stormy wind shall tear it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, Where is the daubing wherewith you have daubed it? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will even tear it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in my anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. So will I break down the wall that you've daubed in untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and you shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, The wall's no more, neither they that have daubed it. God was against the prophets of Israel that prophesied concerning Jerusalem, which see visions of peace for her. And there is no peace, says the Lord God. It's just like today. There's so much worldliness in the church world today. And Jesus is standing knocking at the door, and the Spirit of God has been censored when they were commanded. He let him that has an ear hear what the Spirit says unto the churches, and the Lord is not allowed to be Lord, and the Lord is not allowed to speak, and the Lord has not been allowed to bring correction. When the Lord said, As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent, and come back to your first love. But religion loves religion, and the righteous love the Lord. Likewise, thou son of man, God tells the true prophet to set his face against the daughters of your people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them. I want to share this grieving text here, verse 22. What the Lord said, because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad. The ministry of these lying prophets and prophetesses, what they've created, what they've whitewashed and daubed with white, untempered mortar, is so grieving, so offensive, and it's made the righteous sad. And it's made the Lord sad. And God's saying, you made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I've not made sad, and you strengthen the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way, by promising him life. This goes on in the church growth movement, when they've made the so-called church a social club for the religious, a place for the world. And they brought in uncircumcised in flesh and uncircumcised in heart to teach the things, to teach the people, to influence the people in a worldly false gospel. And that is so grieving, but God is saying enough. Therefore, you shall see no more vanity, nor divine divinations, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. This is why God's calling his people out of the false religious system, to follow him. He's the true shepherd. We're going to look at what the Lord said in Ezekiel 34, the false shepherds. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus says the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should I not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat, you clothe you with the wool, you kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. They're just self-centered people. They sit as kings. Instead of he that's greatest among you be the servant of all, they sit on thrones of glory. They stand on the stage. Tells you what it is. Religious performance. God doesn't go to that show. And he doesn't pay the ticket. Like so many people do. Well, many times they don't know any better. You eat the fat, you clothe you with the wool, you kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. Should not a shepherd feed the flock? Should not a shepherd go after the wounded? Should not the shepherd go after the lost? The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which is broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. You're just an arrogant, pompous king. You believe your own imagination about yourself. You look in the mirror when it's full of steam. You don't see how disgusting it really is. God's sheep were scattered because there's no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field. They became wounded out there as they wandered when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep, that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture. And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. They shall lie in a good fold, and a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away. And I will bind up that which is broken, and will strengthen that which was lost. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and will feed them with judgment. Woe unto the false shepherds, woe unto the false prophets, woe unto the false apostles, woe unto the false Christs, the false teachers, woe. Your day of reckoning is at hand, and the day of the Lord is at hand. And God will spare his people and minister to his people, and he will be seen among them. This is our hope. Praise the Lord.